Our first scripture reading this evening comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David," but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know about you, but this year, Celise and I have felt a little bit of a challenge and feeling like it's Christmas. It seemed like we waited forever for it to get here, and then all of a sudden it was upon us. And it came in the midst of all this other stuff going on in our world. And, you know, we even did stuff this year that we haven't done in a long time. We put Christmas lights on the outside of our house, which I don't think we've done in, not since we've had kids. You know, we did things differently. We didn't hang quite as many ornaments on our tree. Only the top half is decorated. But really, no matter what we did, we really were struggling to find kind of that joy and feel like it's Christmas. Maybe it's the unseasonably warm weather we had. Well, that's kind of gone now. But then today, we were met with the joy of our kids. And really, if you're having a hard time getting in the mood for Christmas, spend some time with some children. Their excitement is contagious. And that's what I hope that you find this evening, is that through this service, that you will find something to spark within you that light of excitement. That you would find something to be excited about this Christmas. And that you'd be ready to go out and share it. The season of Advent is a season of waiting and preparation. On the first Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of hope. We heard of a voice calling in the wilderness, the prophecy of John the Baptist, that really hope was on the way. On the second week of Advent, we lit the candle of peace. We heard the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, how they had waited into their old age to be blessed with a child. And then the angels told him, "Do not be afraid." And we learned what it looked like to to have the peace that only God can give. On the third week of Advent, we lit the candle of joy, and we heard about Mary and Elizabeth, their miraculous pregnancies, and how the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy because it knew that its Savior was coming. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of love, and we heard about the shepherds and about how God's love is for everyone, that it costs nothing. And then tonight, we lit the Christ candle. So we've heard many voices throughout this Advent season. We heard the voice of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary. We heard the voice of the shepherds. But tonight is all about your voice and what you have to say. Every year I watch a number of Christmas movies, and I like Christmas movies, but the one movie that I always seem to end up watching is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Take it as it is, it's maybe not the most church-appropriate movie in the world, but it's always on. And towards the end of the movie, the dad, Clark, he's speaking to the kids, and he says this: "It's the Christmas star, and that's all that matters tonight. Not bonuses or gifts or turkeys or trees. See, kids, it means something different to everybody. Now I know what it means to me." So we've learned over the last 4 weeks what Christmas, what that first Christmas meant for those original characters. We heard their voices. But today, you know, Clark Griswold is right. It seems these days that Christmas means a little bit something different for everyone. For some, Christmas is all about Santa, gifts, and decorations, how many lights you can cram onto your house. It's a time to be kind and joyful. And then for others, it's a stark reminder of the loss that they've experienced. Some remember it as a time to remember traditions or blend them or to create new ones. For some, it's all about what you give or receive or what's on your wish list. For some, it's a time to wonder and worry about how all of your bills are going to be paid. For some, it's about that feeling you get waking up Christmas morning. Maybe that feeling of joy as you see all of those packages piled up under the tree. Or maybe it's that feeling of dread that you have falling asleep Christmas Eve, wondering if this is going to be another Christmas without anything under the tree. Maybe Christmas is about gathering around a table and sharing some really good food, food that you only get to eat once a year. Or maybe it's a reminder that your cabinets are bare and your stomach is empty. For some, it's enjoying hot chocolate as you snuggle up and watch Christmas movies. For others, it's the struggle to find someplace warm so you don't freeze to death that night. You know, some might not even celebrate Christmas. For some, Christmas means very little or nothing. Really, the reality is that Christmas so very often means something so very different for everyone. But tonight, I want to talk about that first Christmas. That Christmas that happens that some 2,000 years ago. Not Christmas as we see it today. Because I think that there's a big difference there. On that first Christmas, the one that we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks, that first Christmas brought a message of hope, peace, joy, and love. Christ the Savior was born. That's what that first Christmas meant. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You see, Jesus Christ inserted himself into the lives of those people who appeared on that first Christmas. In those people's lives, in those characters of the first Christmas lives, Jesus inserted himself right where those people were. In the midst of their broken, mundane, really ordinary lives, Jesus inserted himself. And he does the same now. He desires to insert himself right into your life, right where it is, right now, no matter who you are, of what you've done, what your day looked like, whether it was the best day of your life or the worst day of your life, or somewhere in between. Jesus Christ wants to step in this moment right now and invite you into a relationship with him. Jesus Christ came to give us hope. He came to give us peace. He came to give us joy. He came to give us love. Really, he came to show others what hope looks like. He came to show others what peace is supposed to be. He came to show others the joy that's found in him. And he came to show others what it looks like to be loved perfectly. Those voices of the first Christmas, the voices that we have been hearing, really, they echo throughout the generations. We hear them repeated over and over again. Voices of old age. The voices of youth. Voices of those who felt useless. The infertile. Those who were humble, desperately poor, and in danger of losing even more. The outcast, the despised, the lowest of the low. Those are the voices of the first Christmas. And yet, out of this nativity story, we see Zechariah and Mary compose these beautiful songs of worship and joy. Elizabeth was so filled with joy that the baby inside of her womb leapt as she was introduced to Mary, pregnant with the Savior. The shepherds went everywhere, telling everybody what they had learned and saw. So right now, in this moment, in the midst of this very moment, Christ desires to insert himself into your life. In the midst of your joy and your brokenness, how is Christ inserting himself? I would encourage you this evening to take some time and reflect on that. How is Christ making himself present in this very moment in your life? Can you feel him? Do you sense his presence? And you may be thinking something similar to those first voices. Well, who am I? What makes me so special? Doesn't he know what I've done? Doesn't he know what my life has looked like? Doesn't he know the stress that my life has been filled with? Doesn't he know that I have been consumed with everything else other than him? Maybe your voice is an echo of those first voices. But let me reassure you of this, that you are of immeasurable value to God. And how do we know this? Because he gave up everything. The Almighty God who breathed out all of creation, the expansive universe so big that our most powerful telescopes can't see the end of it. That God humbled himself and became an infant baby, helpless, defenseless, all to die for you because he loves you with immeasurable love. So on Christmas, we celebrate the miraculous, the world-changing events that happened on that first Christmas, to remember that salvation has come, that we have been set free, that we are loved immeasurably. Like the first characters of Christmas, Jesus desires to burst into our lives right now, right where they are. But the question is this, when he does so, and when we recognize his presence, what will our response be? What will your voice be this Christmas? All that you have seen and heard, as you go out and you share that, what will be your voice this Christmas? Remember this, that oftentimes, as the old saying goes, our actions speak louder than words. Will your voice proclaim hope? The world really needs to hear some of that right now. Will your voice proclaim peace? I bet some of your neighbors need it. Will your voice proclaim joy? Wouldn't that be fun for the person sitting in the traffic jam next to you to see? This Christmas, will your voice proclaim love? How will your family see it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mighty God, we thank you that you come into our lives right where you are, that you insert yourself into our ordinary, mundane, humble, poverty-stricken lives, whether we are poor in our pockets or poor in our spirit, you step in and you love us all the same. And so we thank you for this season of Christmas where we are reminded of the lengths that you are willing to go to demonstrate your love for us. So this Christmas, we pray that you would help us as we proclaim hope, peace, joy, and love. And we pray these things in the name of that baby born some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. Amen.